This is Aaron Kessel with We Are Change. I have here the Gab Father, Andrew Torba.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
It's going good, Andrew. So tell us a bit about Gab and what you guys stand for, as opposed to what we're seeing now with social media, with users being censored, users being shadow banned.
Yeah, absolutely. So Gab is a social network, and our mission is very simple. It's to put people first instead of shareholders or advertisers, and to promote free speech and expression for everybody online. And, you know, as you mentioned, I think a lot of these platforms, you know, that we all know and love, that I like to deem as a whole big social, I like to call them big social, you know, they always gave us this promise. And even in Twitter's case, you know, people referred to them as the beacon of free speech at one point. So there was there was that part of it. And then the second layer of it was, you know, this false promise. I mean, I guess in the early days it was true of, you know, using these tools, using these platforms, you know, you can build an audience for yourself and, you know, go viral overnight and, you know, make money on the internet, right? Like that was the big lie or the big con job. And for a while it worked, where you could build a pretty big audience, you know, organically and reach that audience pretty easily. But over the past, I would say, three or four years, you know, we've seen a massive transition to pay to play. And the focus of these companies is purely to appease shareholders and purely to drive shareholder profits and purely to drive, you know, revenue generation for advertisers off the backs of user data.
I agree completely, man.
Yeah, so the other big problem is, you know, content creators are getting screwed. You know, again, that same promise, not only normal users, but, you know, the millions of people around the world that spend hours and hours and hours creating high quality content, just like you. You know, you're creating this show, and this is something that takes your time, takes a lot of effort to do. And, again, you were always promised that distribution, but there's really, it's very, very difficult to monetize your content, online. So what we want to do is make it much easier for content creators and for really anybody who has an audience or a following to monetize their time, to monetize their content, and to monetize their audience. That's what we're trying to do versus empowering advertisers and empowering shareholders off the backs of user data.
So you want to empower the users as opposed to empowering the leeches that kind of use the users for their own benefit.
Exactly.
I remember Facebook coming out in their actual official policy saying that your pictures on our website aren't your pictures and we can use them to advertise with. I remember that years ago.
Sure. I mean, and that's become pretty standard on the web now, you know, mainly so they can use it for like promotional materials and stuff, and also so that they have exclusive right to it for forever, right? And they can use it for advertising purposes. They can use all of your data. They know every website that you're going on across both the web and the mobile. And what's happening is this old model of advertising on the web is quickly, you know, being diminished. And it's being diminished by the rise of ad blockers. So a little bit of context. I actually worked in the advertising technology space of Big Social, of their Big Social ecosystem, for 5 years with my first company, AutomateAds.com. And what we were doing was building as a third-party developer on top of the Big Social APIs, the ads APIs, and helping digital advertisers manage all of their spend, their ad spend in one spot on our platform. And, so we had built on this ecosystem for about 5 years, and, you know, we got to witness firsthand the dark underbelly of greed and just, you know, questionable behavior, questionable business ethics. That is the underbelly of the Big Social developer ecosystem. So over the past decade, and I'm sure you've known this and you probably know developers that have been through this experience, Big Social has, you know, screwed over and been completely unfair to, I would say, tens of thousands of developers around the world. And that's why...
Especially Twitter.
Twitter is notorious for it. I mean, the whole TwitPic incident and... you know, just the complete lockdown of their API and the rate limiting on their API and just all, you know, the bot problem and the spam problem that they have with their API.
Well, hey, Twitter thought that my new account, We Are Change Cat, was a bot. It called me out for being a bot and said that I had to put a phone number in.
Oh yeah, no, that's their new thing. Is they're trying. So here's the thing. Let me break this down for you. So Twitter's ads are terrible. They're about 400 to 500% more expensive than Facebook or Google ads, and they perform terribly as well. And the reason is because Twitter doesn't have nearly the amount of data, personal data, that Facebook and Google have. So they've been making this transition now as a company to start collecting more and more personal information.
To collect phone numbers, right.
Part of that's phone numbers. Part of that is birth dates. And their incentive for adding your birthday to your profile was that when it is your birthday, you'll get some nice animated balloons that pop up on your Twitter file. So in exchange, give them your personal information so that they can target you more accurately with ads. And the thing is that their ads are terrible, and that their ad technology as well and their ads API is easily 3 or 4 years behind where Facebook and Google are. I would expect a slump in their revenues coming up. We already saw it last quarter with a slump in DR. And they're trying to claim that they're getting more ad revenue from video now, and they're not. And the NFL thinks that Twitter live streaming can save the ratings hell that the NFL is in right now, but that's not going to work. So, their stock is going to continue.
Yeah, mainstream media is going down completely just in general.
Yeah.
I saw yesterday that the Emmys or the Grammys or whatever the fuck they held yesterday, I saw that just bombed, man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because none of us are going to, take the lies and take the nonsense, and we're rising. The people are rising, and I think 2016 is going to be one of those years that we all look back on in history books 100 years from now as a cultural and societal global revolution. You look at what happened in Brexit. You look at what's happening in the United States. You look at what just happened in Germany with Merkel's party, being defeated in a landslide.
Well, France is about to follow.
Yep, exactly.
Follow right out of the European Union.
And
it's going off topic. We're going off topic, though. I wanted to kind of stick on the gab, but
sure, go ahead.
I mean, you can get my my mind going on that. So, what I want to know is. What is Gab's policy on, say, I was asked, what would Gab's policy be on such accounts like ISIS accounts and stuff like that?
Yeah, so we have very simple guidelines. We don't have anything like hate speech or harassment rules, because in 2016, that type of stuff has largely become a subjective definition by whoever is deeming something hateful speech. Our guidelines are very simple. We have three. Number one is no illegal pornography. So that can include things like revenge porn and obviously child porn. That can result in an instant ban. It'll instantly be removed, and we will instantly ban that person, and we will potentially report it to the authorities pending our legal counsel's advice on that. As far as threats and terrorism, which is your original question, we have a zero tolerance policy for violence and terrorism. So users cannot and are not allowed to make threats or promote any violence of any kind, especially from terrorist organizations or agendas. These users will be removed instantly, and the owning account will be dealt with appropriately, again, per the advice of our legal counsel. So what defines a terrorist organization or agenda, according to us as a company? To us, that is any group that is labeled as a terrorist organization by either the United Nations or specifically the United States of America. Obviously, we're a U.S. company. So any terrorist organization that is deemed that by the United States or the U.N. Will be considered a terrorist organization on our end. And that's actually one of the reasons why, we have the wait list and the onboarding process like we do, is because if we were to have an open invite, and this is partially why Twitter has a lot of the problems that they have, if we were to have an open invite and one of our links, our signup links, was spread in a terror cell somewhere, we could be dealing with tens of thousands of ISIS members overnight. I mean, you look at Telegram, and they had that same issue. So in order to prevent that, and this is a trend that I've been seeing over the past couple of years, where new communities and new, I guess you can call them social networks, are starting out more locked down. And it's not to keep everybody out, or it's not to be super exclusive or whatever. It's more of a safety precaution. So one great example of this is producthunt.com. And Product Hunt is largely used by a lot of people in the tech space to discover new startups or new products or new services. And their community has been largely locked down, invite only, for about 3 years now. And they're one of the top 3,000 websites on the internet.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, so it's producthunt.com, and it's pretty popular, again, in the tech scene, Silicon Valley scene, tech startup scene, to discover new products, new startups. It's almost like a Reddit for discovering new products. And that community's been around for, 3 years now or so, and it's invite only, meaning you can't just, sign up and start posting random content or random products. You kind of have to earn your way into the community, and we're taking a similar approach, mainly for the safety reasons, and also because we want to build a very strong community, and that doesn't happen overnight. So if we get, right now, obviously, the majority of our users are conservatives from around the world who have been censored, who have felt like, they have been unable to speak freely online for the past, decade that Big Social has been around here, but more so, obviously, in the past 2 or 3 years, it's been.
I've talked to a number of different people with over the last 2 weeks that we planned this interview, and I talked to a lot of different people, and they said that they were shadow banned, and I told them exactly how to check for the shadow ban, and they confirmed it.
The engagement rate, right? Like you have super high engagement rate in your analytics.
No,
That's part of it. So
for me, from what I learned is that you don't appear in people's notifications. You don't appear in Twitter's actual search. So if you go to search your name in Twitter,
So you made the permanent blacklist, right? So
they didn't like the info that I put out, and I was completely going against Hillary Clinton. And
well, yeah, of course. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, you look at all of the top companies, all the top technology companies. They're all based in Silicon Valley. Here in Silicon Valley, they're all led by extremely progressive left leaders. They're all, their company, being in one of the most progressive cities in the world is obviously going to attract progressive talent. And, that talent is going to continue to hire more progressive talent. So you get, these companies that have 10,000 people, the majority of their employees are progressive. The majority of their employees are Democratic. And, is it a surprise to anybody when these companies are expressing editorial precedence over, quote unquote, what is news for over 1 billion people every single month? It's going to impact the perception of what people think is news and what is actually going on in the world.
It's crazy, man. They're going to be able to basically control information.
Yeah.
And I witnessed it with the recent Afghanistan attack. I witnessed it. I witnessed them deleting tweets off of Twitter, just completely deleting the tweets. It would pop up and it would say, this quoted tweet is not available.
Yep.
I'm like, what the fuck? You're censoring information now? What is this? Are we living in George Orwell's 1984?
And it really feels like that. And the part of the problem is that, it's not only censoring or blocking out the information. It's like they have so much data. Like imagine being able to ask any question. They probably have a real-time pulse on, what all of America is really talking about right now. Better than anybody else in the world could, and we place this power in the hands of these four or five companies. You look at Facebook, it's basically a monopoly at this point, a communications monopoly. They own WhatsApp at this point. They own Instagram.
Oh, yeah. They own WhatsApp. They own
the top five apps on the App Store, I think it is, or the top, five apps in the top 10 or something crazy like that. And it's like,
reach out and buy Instagram? Or they did buy Instagram. They might have bought Instagram.
Yeah, they bought Instagram a few years ago for $1 billion, and they tried.
They did buy Instagram, so right.
They tried to buy Snapchat,
they tried to reach out and buy Snapchat, and then
they told them get lost, and that's why I have the utmost respect for Snapchat, and Snapchat right now is the last true independent. I trust Snapchat, honestly, more than I trust any other company at this point, any other social company. Mainly because the content is emperor and it disappears, and secondly because they told Zuckerberg to get lost. I have so much respect for that because they didn't sell out. They're not doing it for the money. They're doing it because they see. I really believe that they see a lot of the stuff that I see, even if they're not necessarily marketing it in the same way that I'm marketing it. But I think that they saw a lot of these problems, and they saw that Facebook's entire revenue stream right now is off the back of mobile app install ads. And you want to know who's paying for the mobile app install ads? All of these flaky startups with stupid, dumb app ideas that raise $5 or $10 million and pump it all through ads and get all these arbitrary installs.
And then fall apart.
And then they fall apart, right? And what's happening is now the deal cycles are definitely getting more upstream, so you're not seeing as many of those companies getting funded, and the money's not funneling back into Facebook. So the whole ecosystem is about to collapse. And that's something that Evan Spiegel, the CEO of Snapchat, has talked about a lot. And I think that's something that he had a vision on years ago that was dead on. Dead on. It's going to come true. And Facebook stock is going to tank when it happens, when it starts to happen. And, you know, outside
Facebook
of
and Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, Twitter stock is already tanking. Actually, yeah.
Yeah. Twitter stock is already tanking. And he, Jack is getting sued for.
Yep.
The growth issue that they lied to investors about.
They said that they were going to have $550 million in the immediate future or intermediate future.
That's pretty hard to do. That's pretty hard to do when you're shadow banning people there, Jack.
and completely suspending the most interesting people on the platform as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's scary, too, is like I'm not sure if you've ever seen Black Mirror, the TV show, but that's what's scary is like we're blocking people – individual people completely out of the discussion online. And right now, it's one site, like it's just Twitter. But where does the slippery slope come into play where it becomes you can't access the internet anymore, period? Where, you know,
right.
where does that slope lead to is my question. And that's what
And that's where we're headed with the UN, trying to take over.
That is my main focus.
That's not even going to be a conspiracy theory anymore, man. It's
I know.
It's about to happen.
and everybody's quiet. And I don't know if you
I said to some of the admins that run Euronet News, I said to them, I said, where the fuck is Anonymous when
Where is everybody, dude? That's my question. Like, you know,
what happened to everybody? What did you guys just forget about? Like, we just fought Acta, Pippa, SOPA.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. Let me explain this.
2.0, and now you're just gonna let this pass.
Here's the difference, though, Aaron. SOPA and Pippa was a guise. The big tech companies, remember, they all blacked out their web. Wikipedia, Google, Reddit, everybody fight censorship, fight internet censorship, and we all black out.
Yeah.
Well, SOPA and PIPA were going after their revenue streams, right? So that was going to strip or attack their bottom line, and that's why they fought so hardly against it. ICANN is not necessarily going to do that, or at least they don't see it as an immediate threat. And I truly believe that the majority of these progressive tech companies and progressive tech leaders truly do want censorship. That's their vision for the world is them being the police and them being the editor of what is news and what isn't and the direction.
What is allowed and what's not, yeah.
Exactly. And if you look at Zuckerberg, I mean, you know, his new I call it a slush fund. He's taking notes from Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, the Zuckerberg Chan Initiative, which essentially gives him and retains complete control over all of his shares and makes his tax situation with his billions much easier and allows him to spend billions of dollars at will on what he deems to be projects that are benefiting society. So he's
That's a slush fund, right.
Exactly. So, I mean, these type of things are becoming more and more common, and we're in an information war. I think I don't have to tell you that. I think I don't have to tell your audience that. So the biggest thing that we could do right now is spread truth and spread awareness and promote free speech. I mean, free speech is needed right
now. And protect the internet with the Freedom Act.
Oh, absolutely.
034.
I don't know when this is going to air, but, I mean, getting this – my biggest goal right now is getting this in front of Donald Trump and the Trump campaign, because I feel like even if you don't support him, right, because I feel like if he were to come out and support this or at least create awareness around it, you know, the phone lines would be rung off the hook and it would pass. I don't know if we can make that happen in time, but that's what I'm trying to do every day. Get him to come out and support it and keep calling every day.
We'll see if I can get it on Euronet News. Get them to work on that. But my next question for you, Andrew, is in regards to your platform. You started with 300 characters as opposed to 140 characters, which is Twitter's minimum.
Yep.
Twitter has said that they are going to increase their characters.
Yep.
Do you plan on increasing your characters? Do you plan on adding features like Twitter has with adding in GIFs, adding in pictures, videos, et cetera?
Yeah, sure. Let me speak to all of that. So first of all, we do have 300 characters. We also have the ability to edit content, and then obviously there's an edit log, so if people make changes, you know what changes were made and at what point in time. So those are two very big things.
That's awesome to point out, too. That's awesome. That's an awesome feature that actually tells you that somebody edited something, so somebody can't go back and edit something.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. Yeah. And then the other thing we have is obviously upvotes and downvotes, and a lot of folks have expressed some concerns over this because of a lot of the problems that communities like Reddit have seen. And we plan on attacking those problems head on from day one. So, preventing things from a technical side to prevent, things like brigading or, targeted abuse or where is there a situation where you going to someone's Gab profile and downvoting every single piece of content that they have, not some form of harassment or just to annoy them. So things like this can be prevented if we, build them out on the technology side. But really what we're trying to do above all, going back to our mission of putting people first, is putting people in control. So not only with the monetization thing like we talked about earlier, but also with their Gab experience. So again, defining quote unquote what is hateful and what is quote unquote harassment is a very vague and very ambiguous and almost those words are just being thrown around so much that they're losing their meaning in our society in current year. but I think that, what we want to do is, again, empower users. So on our end, we have something that we call See No Evil, hashtag See No Evil. And it's essentially feed filtering. So you probably have seen extensions that block certain words or block political content or things of that nature. Well, this is that on a bigger scale with your entire experience. So if you want to block out curse words, if you want to block out what you deem to be hateful words, you can add them to this filter list and you won't see them at all anywhere in your experience. Now, this doesn't...
Okay, so you're allowing users to control their own experience by filtering out certain keywords. You're not actually filtering out the keywords.
Yes.
You're allowing the users to choose the keywords. Okay.
Exactly. And this could be trends.
That's awesome, yeah.
This could be trends. And this doesn't even have to be hateful or harassing words. This could be things like sports. So if you're not a big sports fan, but you obviously don't want to mute or we actually don't have a block, which I'll get into. You don't want to mute your friends when they're talking about sports all day Sunday. So you just add the NFL or different teams or, different trends that have to do with sports to your filter list, and you won't see that content, but you'll still see the other content that your friends are posting, and you won't miss it. So it's all about creating and molding your own experience, as opposed to us as a company deciding what that experience should look like to you and taking editorial precedence over what is news and what isn't by doing some of these things that you've been seeing, which is like the shadow banning and, removing different trends, even though they have, hundreds of thousands of tweets within the last
removing hour. News stories, removing information.
Yep.
Censoring hashtags. It just goes on and on, man. It's insane. I honestly can't believe that Twitter went down this route because
it's
back
scary.
When.
Well, I mean, that
Arab Spring. Yep. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but back when the Arab Spring was going on, I mean, Twitter really looked like the beacon for oppressed countries for revolution purposes.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's really a shame. I mean, I think that Biz Stone, out of any of the co-founders of Twitter, obviously, there were several co-founders. The company had a really interesting, founding story. But I think out of any of the co-founders, I would say that Biz Stone was the champion of free speech out of any of the co-founders. Once he left, I felt like or was forced out or whatever happened. I forget what happened exactly. But once he left, I felt like that's when the company started going downhill. And once Jack came in the door, that's when it really...
Yeah.
Really,
oh, yeah. That's when it really went downhill.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, the Saudi prince that is now the second biggest shareholder in Twitter. He owns more. He owns 5.2% of the company.
Yeah, I do know that. I already kind of like hinted at Twitter that I was going to start bringing up that their biggest investor.
Yeah, I mean,
because I brought it
public
up.
Knowledge. I mean, it's on the front page of courts. Back in October. This is not news. And this is the scary thing. This another scary trend that I'm seeing. I mean, you look at Uber, and I believe they just accepted $1 billion from the Saudis. That's scary stuff. That's a scary trend. You see foreign foreign investments
foreign governments.
Yes,
foreign
governments
investing in U.S. companies.
I mean, it's billions. It's billions. It's not a little
they're
investment.
They're asking for something. They're not just investing in the company here. Oh, I see this idea. Oh, it's going to make me more money. No, they're asking for something from Uber.
Yep. 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 We don't know what that is yet, but you don't buy a majority position in a company without good reason, especially when you have the amount of money that some of these governments have. You're not doing it for a return. That's for damn sure.
Right.
And that's the scary stuff. And what gives me hope is that the free market is reacting. Things like Gab, to be honest, are starting to rise. And we've been live for 33 days, I think it is at this point. And we're one of the top 13,000 websites on the internet in the United States right now. That's a pretty incredible feat in 30 some days.
How many users have you guys actually gotten requests from? Because I know it was at like 50 some thousand when I last looked at it.
Yeah, I think we're actually getting close to 70,000. We're actually going viral in Brazil right now. And from what I've been hearing from some of our folks down there, the censorship down there is just abhorrent.
Brazil. I mean, America, you think that censorship is bad over here? You should go to another country like Brazil or go to the Ukraine.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, and here's the thing. People are using the site for a long period of time every time they log in. And as you mentioned, we're missing some of our core features. Like I said, we're live 30 some days here. What we have on the way, GIFs are on the way actually this week. Image sharing is
awesome.
Is done. And the reason we don't have image sharing yet is because we're financing, and image hosting costs money, lots of money. So we want to make sure that we're set on the back end side in terms of scalability for that event before we launch that part of the product. But that'll be in the next 2 weeks or so. Then obviously we have mobile on the way. iOS is just about ready to ship out the door. Android is in motion right now. And some of our top countries, so obviously the United States is our number one, and then the United Kingdom is a strong number two, and we're seeing a lot of the Brexit folks joining from there. Germany comes in at number three, which again is no surprise given the massive landslide election that they just won there. And Brazil, as I said, we're starting to go viral there, and that's our third. And then Canada actually is our fourth right now, or fifth. This is a global movement, and I say it's a movement because it really is. It's not just, some of the press, the mainstream press is comparing us to a Peach or to an Elo or a flash in the pan social network, but it's much more than just an app. And I think it's very telling because, you've been in the product, you've seen the product, it's very much in beta. But the fact that we're fighting for free speech, we're fighting to put people first and getting that message out there is really, really resonating with people. And I think that what we're going to start to see is a mass exodus.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, I think it's coming.
Yeah, the second that we get on the App Store, we're gonna hit the top of the App Store, and it's just gonna be overnight tens of millions of users. We're gonna blink, and that's what's gonna happen. And it's at the same time that we're taking over, and there's some other conservative channels popping up. So you look at like SLI.mg, which rose in response to the censorship that was going on by Imgur. These types of platforms are rising, and there these new media outlets, like, dude, you look at like the traffic, like the Alexa traffic of Drudge Report is exploding.
Oh yeah, Drudge just exploded. Now they're talking about trying to censor Drudge.
Yep.
They want to censor Drudge Report because they say it influences politics too much. What the fuck is it supposed to do?
Here's the thing. Drudge doesn't even report anything. He curates.
He curates out all his news, yeah.
Yep, he curates in a way that they don't like, that doesn't fit their narrative. So they're trying to censor him. They're trying to censor – if you look at 4chan's growth from April until now, 4chan is now it's ranked number 302 in terms of top websites in the United States.
4chan has always been a big website.
Sure, sure, but just look at the growth the past couple. I mean, it's skyrocketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because people can't get real news and real information anywhere else, so they have to go to these other channels like InfoWars and Breitbart and 4chan and the Donald Reddit, which has.
I love 4chan. I started off on 4chan. Like everybody who knows me knows that I was an old beatard. But 4chan, here's the thing. A lot of hoaxes come off 4chan.
Totally.
So if you're getting your news off 4chan,
you gotta
I love 4chan so much. You have to fact check. You have to double check. And even if you're not getting your news off 4chan, you should always go back
Absolutely.
And double check.
Always.
You shouldn't just spew things
because
you read it online.
Yeah, I think that's Reagan. Trust but verify, right? Or trust but confirm. Absolutely. And I mean, I think that, some of the things that we've been seeing, from all these companies, we're starting to see a response now, and, it's tapping into this anti-establishment, anti-globalist, movement that's going on globally. And I think, the censorship issue, like in the media and in our narrative, a lot of people have been focusing on, okay, well, like fringe conservatives like Milo, like, oh, alt-right, labeling them as like the fringe, very small minority, but it's
here's the thing with Hillary labeling things a right-wing conspiracy. That's just repeating Arkansas back in the 1980s.
Yeah, that's the same tactic that she's been running for decades now.
But
I mean, it's just not like it's a global thing too, and it's not even just in the United States. It's a global movement. And I'm witnessing it, firsthand with the sheer demand and the sheer excitement that people around the world have for a platform that comes out and says, hey, we don't have these arbitrary, ambiguous, vague, all-powerful, anti-quote-unquote harassment, quote-unquote hate speech rules. Come in, look at our guidelines, which are common sense things that anybody can agree on, essentially things that in the real world we would be legally liable for as a company. So, those are the things that we want to avoid. And obviously we want to make users feel safe as well and promote open, raw, rational discourse and put people first.
So no doxing users. And
That's a part of it as well. Yeah, I'm not sure if I mentioned that third guideline, but that is actually our third guideline is private information.
No doxing? Is that really like written in there? No doxing?
Well, it says private information, so users are not allowed to post others' confidential information, including but
right.
limited to credit cards, street numbers, SSNs, etc. And some doxers will argue, well, this information is public knowledge. Say they find the information on a Whois lookup or something. But the problem is doxing by definition is broadcasting that information at scale and without someone's consent. And secondly, they like to argue, well, okay, that's fine. It's still public information. Anybody can search this on Google and find this information in 3 seconds. Fine. Well, when you're doing it with malicious intent, i.e., hey, everybody, call the cops on this address, or order 100 Bibles,
right.
100 Korans to this address. That is when it becomes, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, doxing. And I think that this topic is a very hotly debated topic right now. And I think that in the next 5 or 10 years, we'll probably see some sort of legal precedent come out.
There's some type of legal precedent. That was set because of people were – or not really hackers, but people were swatting streamers online.
Mm.
And one of the kids got caught. He was like 14 years old, and he went to – he ended up getting like maximum 10 years in jail.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, that's a lot of – the majority of internet trolls is kids that are between the ages of, 14 and 19 that
yeah.
sit on the internet all day behind anonymous profiles and, troll.
But you're forgetting the other end of that. The other end of that is the NSA, the GCHQ, and all those little fun guys.
Sure.
Because they do actually spread disinformation
yep.
online.
Yep.
They do troll people.
Yep.
And these are facts that a lot of people should know about because
well, PSYOPs is what it is. It's PSYOPs, and it's pretty obvious. Like I think you said, like the misinformation. It's pretty obvious when something is misinformation because usually it's just out of the ordinary, just way out there, left field type stuff. But you know, sometimes it is, you know, borderline believable, and you know, that stuff has spread, you know, there's multiple examples of that, you know, spreading into the national media. And I think that's one of the trends that we're seeing now is not the falsehood, but the truth that comes out of, you know, these anonymous networks or these anonymous communities like 4chan, the truth, you know, with the folks that are weeding through like what is fact and what is fiction and then getting it out to the world and broadcasting it. And that's something that I've seen a shift to over the past, obviously, 2 years or so.
Now, I got to ask for our viewers that support the anonymous movement. I got to ask, because Twitter has began one of the most aggressive crackdowns I've ever seen on anonymous accounts.
Yep.
There's anonymous accounts that were used to go after hunting pedophiles. There's anonymous accounts that were used to help people. There's anonymous accounts that were used for operations to bring awareness, and all these accounts are censored.
Yep. No, let me make a comment on anonymity on the web. So I think that being anonymous online is one of the most important fundamental rights to being able to express yourself freely online. You know, there are certain individuals in this world who simply cannot express themselves in a public way, especially on the internet, due to, say, their job or their position, or, you know, that's typically what the most standard thing is, or maybe they just don't feel safe expressing this level of opinion or getting this type of information out with their name behind them. And I think that it's fundamentally goes back to our mission of putting people first and giving them choice. So on Gab, we're going to give every person, every user, the ability to verify their identity and get that special blue snowflake. On our end, the blue check mark is only going to mean one thing, and it's going to mean that you are who you say you are, and we have confirmed it. It's not going to mean that you're a celebrity or, you know, a special person or whatever the psychology that has been pushed on us for the last decade, that having this blue check mark means that our life has value. That's what I'm trying to strip away. And at the same time, if you do not want to do that, if you want to remain anonymous, you have that option. You don't have to verify your identity. You can remain anonymous, and you can protect your identity and fight for whatever cause you're trying to fight for. So I think that.
Well, here's the thing with that, because with whistleblowers, with whistleblowers, they have to stay anonymous for their safety.
Yep.
A journalist, you should always pick an alias because you're doing journalism. You'd say it's like, hey, you do a story that this guy didn't like and you could end up dead.
Yep.
It's like,
absolutely.
And that's the truth.
Yep. Absolutely.
And people don't believe that. That's the truth. But it's already happened throughout our history. It happened to Danny Casolaro. Danny Casolaro had his wrist slit 10 times in a bathtub and they crawled it a suicide.
Yep.
It's like, you have to protect yourself online.
Scary. Yeah, it's very scary. I mean, like I said, there are many different examples. You just named a few. You know, there's just, you know, lawyers. Like, how as a lawyer are you supposed to express your political or, you know, different opinions online without, you know, jeopardizing your career, jeopardizing your clients? You know, there are just certain professions, certain people that need to remain anonymous in society.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Yeah, so I'm in that boat. Again, our thing is it always goes back to people first and having choice, because right now choices are being made for us. As a community of over a billion people globally, and that's what we need to stop.
I agree. Now, I have one final question for you. For organizations like WikiLeaks, DC Leaks, like individuals like Guccifer, hackers, where they're leaking important data that needs to be seen, how would Gab take on this data? Would Gab censor this data? Would Gab...
No, absolutely not. I mean, listen, as long as they're following our guidelines and as long as we are legally allowed to display whatever data that they are giving us, we will do so. It's going to be I'm sure this is going to come up where we're going to have, you know, the government knocking on our door demanding that we do something. You know, in that case, if I'm allowed to, I'm not sure if they'll, you know, put a muzzle on me or what. But my first, you know, gut inclination would be to go to the community with it and say, hey, guys, you know, the government has approached us, you know, we need to pull this content. We have literally no choice. So just be transparent about it if it gets to that point where we are forced to by law. But otherwise, you know, we allow, as long as they're following our guidelines and allowing, you know, and following those guidelines, we allow anybody to speak freely and share any information or data that they want.
Awesome. I know I told you there was a final question, but this thought up another question in my
sure.
head. For agencies that request information on your users, how will you respond to those requests?
Sure. So, again, I think we're going to face this situation. You know, some of the users have suggested looking into a canary in our terms of service, which is something, again, if it's putting people first, if it's protecting our users, if it's protecting their data, that's something that I am all for. You know, granted, we're still in beta right now, so our terms of service are prone to change and prone to evolve. And if we
if
we do that, we will make an announcement to the community and get the community's feedback on that. But I think a canary is one great start. And then also, you know, again, going back to the transparency and letting the community know that these things are going on or that these requests are coming through. And actually, you know, one of the things that Silicon Valley, I think, has been moving more towards is being more transparent with these requests. So publishing annual reports on how many requests, you know, where those requests came from, all that type of stuff is critically important to retain user trust and to make sure that users' data and their data are safe.
Right. Okay. All right, man. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you for doing this interview. And I wish you guys the best of luck.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, and thank you so much for your support.
You're very welcome, Andrew. Would you like to plug anything before we go? Is there any where anybody can donate to support the project? Or
yeah, so we're not accepting donations right now. That's something that we may do in the future. And if we do, all of those donations will go directly to something like hosting, for example, or promotional material like shirts or stickers. As of right now, not yet. But the biggest thing that I would want to plug is the Protecting Internet Freedom Act, S3034. I urge everybody that's listening to call their senators and urge them to support passing this to protect free speech on the Internet.
Yeah, to keep ICANN out of the U.N. control.
Absolutely.
Even if it's in the U.S. control, it'll be a lot worse if it's in U.N. control.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, again, thank you so much for the time. I had a great time.
Thanks, man.
All right, you have a good one.
Have a good night,
Thank
man.
Thank you.